All right, something different. Welcome to Double Fries, No Slaw, and
a peek inside Gator football.
All right, so real quick, we'll get started with this. A little bit different episode. If you're tuned in on either Allie's channel or the Double Fries channel, this is a little bit different than what we typically have done week after week after week. Allie and I used to do a podcast together called Peak to Pit, and so it felt like a good crossover. Instead of getting a UF reporter or someone that covers that side, instead of Allie getting somebody that covers the Noles, we would just do a show together. Richie, TJ, Allie, that way across the screen. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you guys are excited for Thanksgiving, but we will we'll jump right into it. If you are in Gainesville, we're kind of doing, just like we are this show, doing a co-branded tailgate. Come by. The link is in the description on both YouTube channels. Make sure that you come by and hang out with us and come party before the game. So, all right, let's get started right from the top. Florida State, a 6.5-point favorite against Florida. ESPN, 7 p.m., a battle of the backups. Let's go around the horn with this. Richie, you go first. Allie, you go next. I'll finish up. What one thing concerns you the most about your backup quarterback that's starting on Saturday?
Yeah, I want to start with Allie, actually, because, you know, for Florida State, we've had some issues, you know, with dual threat quarterbacks. And, you know, Graham Mertz, he's capable. I think he's more athletic than a lot of people think. But Max Brown certainly is. You know, he's quite the athlete. I believe he played baseball at UF last year. You know, he's a big guy. I don't think he's Tyler Castellanos like at Boston College, but he's certainly capable of, you know, doing some damage on the ground. So, Allie, just what's the mood around UF with Graham Mertz being out and, you know, Max Brown having to step in?
You know, I think it's just so much of an unknown. I think that Florida fans like the idea that we have a mobile quarterback, and maybe that's some place that we can, you know, pick up some positives, particularly given how the offensive line has played. But it's just such a crapshoot for Florida. We've seen what you guys saw against Missouri is all we've seen as well, right? As opposed, outside of just a little bit in the spring game. So we don't know what to expect. But for me, I think the things that concern me the most are the lack of experience for him. I mean, this is, it doesn't get bigger than Florida, Florida State in the swamp at night. And, you know, that's a big, big, big stage to have your first kind of real test.
Yeah, and I think Florida State's in kind of the same boat with Tate Rodemaker. You know, I think, you know, it's one thing to come in, you know, on a whim, but when Jordan Travis went down at Louisville last year and come out and just perform, not knowing what's going on, but knowing you're starting all week and having to come in and prepare for that week, you know, the pressure is going to mount, I think, for Tate, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But UF also, they have a really good rushing attack. You know, the offensive line, I want to ask you about that because I think, you know, Montrell Johnson Jr. and Trevor Etienne are both really good running backs. They're crazy stat. They both have exactly 710 yards on the season. UF has a capable offense, but what are your thoughts about the run game, and has the offensive line held them back at all? Because it just doesn't seem to connect with me right there.
Yeah, I think the offensive line has held them back. And, you know, I'd have to go back and look, but I don't know that we've had the same starting five for any game this season. This is a inexperienced patchwork offensive line. Austin Barber didn't practice today. Tate Rodemaker, Kingsley Aguakin didn't practice. The assumption is both of them will be out. George was out last week too. So I just... it's going to be interesting, but I will tell you, Florida's offensive line played the best that I've seen them play against Missouri. And, you know, the bar is pretty low for that. So it doesn't mean that they played well, but they played the best that I've seen them play with a bunch of patchwork guys in there. Hudson was in there. Some guys we haven't seen in a while. So that's nice to see, but this offensive line has just not allowed Etienne and Johnson to reach their full capabilities this season.
So this week, you know, a big question has to be whether or not Max Brown can get the playmakers the ball. And like you said, it's just so much of a question mark without having, you know, 11 games of film or even really just one or two games of film. Ricky Pearsall had kind of a career day against FSU last year, kind of went off in the first half, and then Florida State put Greedy Vance on him and limited him somewhat in the second half. Trey Wilson has really emerged for UF, Allie, this year. It feels like UF's playmakers can make plays, I think the biggest question is, I don't necessarily know if you have an answer for this, but can Max Brown get him the ball or not? And you know, what does Napier maybe do to ensure that he is able to get them the ball, whether that be screens or quick stuff over the middle? You know, any thoughts around that?
I mean, we're going to all see, right? Your guess is as good as mine at this point. But what I will say is last Saturday, Napier called a slightly less conservative offense than I would have expected with a quarterback just thrown in under fire. Plus, knowing that Napier is just conservative by nature anyway, the fact that he let Brown come out and very first play from line of scrimmage throw a pass tells me that he has a little bit of trust in him. And I feel like we saw some darts out of him on Saturday. And I know Ricky Pearsall shared in the press conference this week that he woke up and he texted Brown and said, "Hey, just so you know, one's always open." He wants the ball. Wilson wants the ball. I think that you're going to see those guys make some plays. I'm just interested to see one, what the offensive line does, and two, what Brown does with his legs as well, because that's, we haven't wanted Graham Mertz to run. He is more athletic, to Richie's point, than I think people give him credit for, but that's not something that we're like designing in, you know, it's kind of a run for his life kind of thing when Mertz was running. But I think we might see some design runs for Brown, which, you know, it's just going to open up everything potentially.
UF's defense, I know that you've lamented quite a bit. Yeah. Really can't stop much of anything right now. Almost dead last, 131st out of 133rd in the country in yards per play given up. Now, Mike's had an entire week to try and get things ready for Tate Rodemaker, but again, it's not Jordan Travis back there. Is there a point total in your mind that you feel like the defense has to step up and hold Florida State under this certain total? And if so, what is that number that you feel like the defense has to hold Florida State to try and pull an upset?
Yeah, I think it's 30 points. I think if you can hold Florida State to 30 points, that there's a chance this offense can get just above that. It's going to be tough. You know, looking at the stats from the two teams for this season, Florida, five of six games, the last six games have scored 30 points or more. Florida State isn't giving up 30 points. So something's going to have to give there. But statistically, you know, I know we like to talk about Florida's offense and it's just not that great and Graham Mertz is so-so and whatever else. Statistically, this is going to be one of the better offenses that Florida State has played this year. So I think even though we can say like, well, Florida State's held all their opponents to under 30 points, they're not playing week in and week out an offense statistically as good as Florida is.
Yeah. To your point, Florida has scored 30 against everybody, I believe, going back to South Carolina, except for Georgia. So, yeah, as much as, you know, obviously Graham Mertz has kind of shocked people this year. Again, him not being there is kind of similar to Jordan not being there for Florida State. But Florida's offense has been putting up points. It's the defense that's really cost them just about every week. So, sure. Richie, I'll ask you the same question. Do you have a number, and is it 30? Is it similar to what Allie's is? A number that if you feel like Florida State gets to offensively, you feel pretty comfortable?
I feel like 27 is that number for me. If UF's special teams or defense does not have a touchdown, I think, you know, 27 is about where I max Florida out at. You know, we'll see what happens. It's a rivalry game. It's in the swamp. It's at night. You know, a lot of us have been bringing up, you know, the Arkansas game. That was a nooner against Arkansas. Florida didn't, I'm not saying they didn't care about that game, but it's different when it's Florida State 11-0, a chance to ruin an undefeated season and potentially put a dagger in our playoff hopes. That's a different atmosphere, and that's a different team. That's a different attitude I think this Florida Gator team comes with. But I think if you can hold Florida to 27, I trust Mike Norvell to get to 30 against this defense. So it's we'll get to score predictions towards the end here, but yeah, man, I think this game's gonna be close.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we're all kind of hovering around that, but I do, you know, you look at what Florida's offense and defense have done, you look at what Florida State's offense and defense have done, and you know, that 30 number to me does seem really pertinent, you know. And if a team was to get to 31, I don't know, somebody will win 34-31 to prove me wrong here, but if a team was to get to just over 30, I think it'd be really tough to see the others. You know, if I was to tell Allie right now, hey, we're definitely scoring 31, I mean, your confidence probably drops a little bit that, you know, we that Florida wins. If I was to tell Richie, hey, Florida's going over 30 in this game, you're probably thinking like, oof, it's anybody, you know, like your confidence is going to drop. So I feel like that number kind of for everybody makes sense. Richie, I think you're up next.
I think I might be up next here. Oh, I guess Richie is up next. Yeah. Ask your question.
Just on that point about, you know, where Florida State has to get to, you know, I think that TJ, you and I agree 30, 31 is a good number. You know, there's going to be so much said, leading up from now until 7 p.m. on, you know, Saturday night on ESPN about what Tate Rodemaker has to do to win this game. I don't think it's on Tate. I think it's on guys like Trey Benson, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, Jaheim Bell, TJ. Just, you know, if those guys just step up and deliver the way we know they're capable of, you know, that a lot of those guys failed Jordan Travis last year in Tallahassee, and Jordan Travis just had a ridiculous game at the end using his legs. But these guys have to step up this week if Florida State does want to leave the Swamp with a win.
Yeah, to me, you know, and that to me, that's really, and Allie, you can follow this up, but to me, that's the path, right? I don't want Tate Rodemaker to have to go out and win this game. And I'm sure Allie doesn't want Max Brown to have to go out and win this game. Now, if that's the way it goes down and either quarterback has 350 total yards and four touchdowns, then we'll beat our chests and be happy with the rivalry win. But nobody wants that, right? Like, nobody wants that to be put on Tate's shoulders. And so, yeah, like, I'd love to see a ton of yardage after the catch. I mean, UF's tackling has not been very good in the secondary. I was talking with Dave Waters of Gators Breakdown, and he told me a lot about how, you know, UF will allow a 7 or 8 yard pass turn into 60, you know, just because they'll miss a tackle here or there. And so, yeah, I don't necessarily need Tate to throw for 300 yards through the air. I think that if Jaheim Bell and, you know, Kyle Morlock and Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman, your studs, Trey Benson, your offensive line can step up and play well and take some of that pressure off him. I mean, I think that's what's probably going to, you know, make Florida State successful. And by the same token, Allie, I feel like you probably feel the same way about Max Brown not having to go out and win it for UF.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Florida's defense is going to have to come up with a couple of stops. This is the game where I think, you know, matchup wise, when I look at all of the matchups, there are some I can find where I think Florida has an advantage, but there's none where I'm like, ooh, that's where we could get crushed. And the reverse of that, though, Florida State's defensive line and Florida's offensive line is an area where I could see Florida just getting decimated. So it's hard. You know, the path to victory for Florida requires Brown to be mistake-free, if nothing else, and requires our offensive line to do enough for our running game to be able to get going so that he can get the ball into the hands of our playmakers. If they can't get the ball, Florida can't score points. I don't trust the defense to come up with more than, you know, a stop or two. So this offense is going to have to be successful to win. I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on Tate and how he's going to handle the pressure in the Swamp, but I also, did you guys see the clip of him where he's talking about how he can handle the Swamp pressure because he's played in some big high school games? One, not only do I think find that bulletin board material, two, I please think you're prepared because you have sat through some rowdy high school games.
So let me tackle that first. Because that was perfectly clipped, but the question was specifically about playing in big crowds in high school. The question was not about the Swamp at all. So he just said, you know, I've played in front of 14,000 people in high school. So, you know, I feel like I'm ready. I don't think he was taking a shot at UF or the Swamp directly.
Well, I still hope it's on a bulletin board somewhere.
And it will be. And quite frankly, if I'm Billy Napier, I'm telling the scoreboard operator to play that clip in the stadium right before kickoff just to get the fans riled up. But yeah, we live in a clip media world. But yeah, the question was did not specifically mention the Swamp. It was just about him playing in big crowds in front of high school and how that's prepared him for this weekend. I don't think he was intentionally taking a shot at the Swamp. I would love it if he was, and if he goes out and delivers on that. But TJ, I don't know your thoughts on that, man.
Yeah, social media things are clipped very, very well, and I've never done anything like that. So, you know, I would never do anything like that. But yeah, I think that's probably Richie kind of hit the nail there. Richie, I want to ask you this, then I want to ask Allie, and then I'll let her grill us a little bit on some FSU stuff. Richie, I actually know what your answer is about to be, but if you, and Allie, you get a little time to, this isn't like High Top where you have to answer like a second in to try and score your points, but Richie, do you have a wild card for this game? If you had a wild card in this game, who you think might make a big impact? Allie, same question's coming your way in a minute. Who would that be for Florida State?
Yeah, I really trust the defense if they're healthy. You know, if Kalen DeLoach is able to play, you know, there's nobody on the defense that I would consider a wild card because I think they've just been steady Eddie all season. Offensively, man, you know, I'll give you two. One that you know I'm going to talk about. Lawrence Sofili, you know, he's just a guy that I think he's the forgotten man on Florida State's offense that he just delivers when his number is called. And I think, you know, the screen game is going to be important. Florida plays a very aggressive defense. They're sending 5, 6, 7 men almost every play, right? So if Florida State can set up that screen game, and I trust Mike Norvell so much when it comes to scheming up this offense, I think Tua Philly could be a guy that could be a big factor. And from all accounts, you know, Ja'Kai Douglas has had a second straight week of a very good practice. A guy that maybe he gets in the slot a little more. You know, obviously Johnny and Keon should both be there, but don't sleep on Ja'Kai. I think Tua Philly and Ja'Kai Douglas are two guys that I'm going to keep an eye on because I think one of them could potentially make a play that, you know, turns the outcome in Florida State's favor in this game.
Yeah, go ahead, Allie. Sorry.
Well, first of all, Florida's depth chart just came out, and Kingsley Aguakin is out, but Austin Barber is in, according to Florida's depth chart. So that's kind of interesting to note. And Damian George is back in. Lyndall Hudson is his backup. I kind of wish we'd gone with Hudson there because he played a lot better on Saturday than I feel like George has played in the last couple of games. But the player that I would maybe keep an eye on that I think could be a wild card is Khalil Jackson. And I'm going to tell you why. I think that Max Brown is super comfortable with him because he has run the twos for so long. And that, so I think this is a guy he's going to look for. I think it's a guy he, you know, feels like can bail him out a little bit. And Khalil Jackson, you know, goes with the ones most of the time now, but that he worked his way into that spot. And I think you saw in crunch time last Saturday, Brown look for him. So I think that that could be a matchup. He could get more yardage than we're used to seeing him make. I feel like Jackson only makes fantastic catches, like no easy catches ever go his way. Maybe we'll see some easy ones on Saturday, but I think that's something that I would look at. And Florida's going to need to put up points. So we need all the offensive stars we can to show up.
I'll let you go real quick. I'll give mine though. I'll go, this probably isn't a very good answer for this, but I kind of like Jaheim Bell to have a good day. He played with Tate in both middle school and high school. So there is some familiarity there. I think that's probably a cheating answer to give as the, you know, just the fact that Florida has not been very good against tight ends. Florida State's got a pretty dynamic tight end who has been pretty good. If you're throwing screens, if you're throwing short passes, I think Jaheim Bell is probably who you're likely targeting. Florida also having some issues tackling. I could see Jaheim Bell having a pretty big day. You know, it is a daunting task for any team to try and think about covering Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. And, you know, based on how Florida wants to play that, Jaheim Bell could have a really good day. So, all right, Allie, your turn to grill us a little bit.
Cool. So speaking of familiarity with Tate Rodemaker, which I would assume most people are not particularly familiar with him, but Billy Napier is. Billy Napier's dad, Bill, was Tate Rodemaker's quarterback's coach, which I think is a really interesting kind of piece of information. The Napiers and the Rodemakers are very, very good friends, and Napier is super familiar with his game, which, you know, is kind of an unexpected, you know, little help for Napier that, you know, going into this.
You better be respectful then. Not too much pressure there, Billy.
It's Thanksgiving weekend. Come on, man.
Start. Come on. Yeah, be respectful.
And how do you think, this is for Richie, how do you think Tate will handle the pressure? I mean, jokes aside about the high school games and such, this is a big stage. And the only equivalent is probably he started Louisville Friday night, but Louisville Friday night is not Swamp on Saturday night.
I have no idea how to answer that question, Allie. I really don't. You know, Tate's never been put in a position like this. You know, his first start at Florida State, he threw probably the worst interception for a pick six I've ever seen a Florida State quarterback throw in history. But when he came in against Louisville last year in relief of Jordan Travis, his second possession, he threw an interception. And I thought this game's over. No way we win it. Then he somehow, you know, leads us back to a comeback victory. He's never been put into an environment like this. I do think he has some very good weapons around him, and we've talked about those guys. And I trust Mike Norvell. I think he's going to use this week to say, hey, Tate, what are you comfortable with? You know, what do you think about this play? You know, what are we doing here? I do trust Mike Norvell. I can't trust Tate Rodemaker because we've not seen him in an environment like this before. And, you know, if he comes out and has a good first drive, you know, and that confidence gets going, awesome. But say he comes out and, you know, maybe he fumbles a ball on a strip sack or throws an interception, things could go south quickly. There's just no way to know because we've never seen Tate in an environment like this.
Tate has, you know, has very little experience, very little game experience. So as a result, y'all are going to have to rely on probably your running game a little bit. And TJ, your running game has struggled at times. What do they need to do differently to find some success Saturday?
Yeah, I think Florida State's running game has been pretty boom or bust. It feels like they'll run Trey Benson like 8 times for 2 yards and Florida State fans will get frustrated. And that'll be like 8 rushes over 3 drives, 2 yards a pop, and Florida State fans will just be like, quit running the ball, and the very next drive he'll, you know, go off for like a 70-yard rush. And so like his average looks great because it's like 9 for 72. You know, it looks like he's had a great game, but it's been pretty boom or bust. I don't know. I think they need to try and get to the edge. Florida's not been great when guys have gotten to the edge. Florida State's also, for some reason, at times Benson looks like he's kind of running in quicksand. Florida State's done a good job of kind of mixing it up and getting other guys some looks. Richie mentioned Toa Philly maybe being a wild card. Rodney Hill has run really, really well because Holmes has run really well. And so I think if it's not working with one guy, which Trey did have a really good day against Florida last year, if it's not working with one, you know, maybe switch it up a little bit. But I think they'll continue to be consistent with it. Now, if they get in a situation where they're down a couple of scores, a couple of turnovers happen or something like that, they'll have to go away from it. But I think both teams are going to try and run the ball a lot in this game. And so I think they will stay consistent with it, and that'll probably end up breaking some stuff later. That's just how it seemed to go on all year.
How's the offensive line looking?
You know, I think we'll talk a little injury stuff in a second. I think Maurice Smith is going to be pretty questionable. He's been Florida State's starting center for the year this year. But if he doesn't go, Darius Washington will probably start for him. He's a bigger guy than Smith. I don't think he's quite as skilled, but he is bigger, and Florida's obviously got a huge defensive front with Watson, and their defensive tackles are just huge. So I think the offensive line is probably I'd classify as a bit of a disappointment. I don't think they've been elite by any means. I thought they looked good as the game went on. It's kind of tough to know if that was just North Alabama wearing down or the combo of Washington being in there in the middle being a little bit better, probably a little bit of both. But yeah, I'd say they've been a little bit of a disappointment at times. They've been average, you know, at best. And I think Florida State fans thought that they would be good this year. I don't think they thought it would be an elite offensive line, but I thought they thought it would be really, really good. Some guys have, you know, with Florida State's O-line, some guys have really, really good passing grades. Some guys have really, really good run blocking grades. But you can't just, you know, sub out every time you're going to run or every time you're going to pass. So on any given drive, you may have your best run blockers in there, but when you need to throw on third and long, you're kind of in trouble. Or if you're trying to run the clock down and you've gotten in close there, you know, you can't do a mass substitution there on the goal line of all your run blockers. So, I don't know, they've gotten caught in that situation at times. And so, I think the offensive line has just been very average this year. I think we wanted a better showing than we've gotten. And, I don't think they've been bad by any means. I don't think they've been great. It's just kind of middle of the road this year.
Richie, defensively, Florida State plays bend, don't break, which to me is kind of similar to what Georgia did against Florida and does just in general. UF did not have success against Georgia. Now, FSU is obviously not Georgia defensively, but is that kind of what you expect to see this weekend?
Yeah, I think we're a little better than Georgia defensively. It's the whole Max Brown thing is just such a crapshoot. I think if Graham Mertz were playing, you have a much better idea of what it could be. But I feel like with Max Brown, the ceiling might be slightly higher just with his ability to run the ball, but the floor is a lot lower. So right. It's going to be tricky for Florida State. I think Adam Fuller, you know, Florida State fans have been on him since he got here. I've been really impressed with the defense this year. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look at the, you know, passing defensive passing stats, Florida State is, you know, top five in the country in almost every category, whether it comes to efficiency, passer rating, passing touchdowns allowed, et cetera. I trust this defense from a passing attack, but, and I like our run defense, but then again, you've got to think back to the Miami game. They kind of did what they wanted on the ground against Florida State for the first half. And then Florida State, I think, finally wore them down with depth, and Miami just didn't have any depth at all. So it's going to be interesting. I think if Florida State can limit UF to field goal attempts, if they're inside the 30, that's a really good sign for Florida State. If they're giving up touchdowns, that's what worries me, and that could be the end of our playoff hopes. But, you know, I do trust this defense. I think they're solid. You know, Bernardo Green, you know, he was in a sling on the field against North Alabama in the second half last week. He was out at practice this week practicing. That's a great sign for Florida State. I think if Kalen DeLoach plays and is close to 90%, I really like our defense's chances of matching up against Florida. I do think Kalen DeLoach, if he were not to play, that would be very concerning. More so with Max Brown than if Graham Mertz were playing this week.
TJ, and you produce my show, so you know my strong feelings and affinities for special teams, and Florida has just not had great special teams this year. They have a great kicker. They have a pretty good punter, but everything else is pretty much garbage. Do you think Florida State has a big advantage here?
I think from an organizational standpoint, they certainly do. I think Florida's kickers missed. I think Florida's kickers missed maybe two field goals. Our guys missed one. So pretty negligible there. I think both kickers are really good. I think both punters are pretty comparable as well. You know, I think Keon's probably a little more dynamic than Ricky Pearsall is at punt returner, but they both at least catch the ball every time. So I think that's good. I probably like Florida State's kick return, you know, a tad more, but 90% of kickoffs go out of the, you know, like it doesn't, how much does that really matter? Probably not much. Organizationally though, like field goal attempt, field goal block, punt, you know, I think Florida's like, if a punt is blocked in this game, I mean, this is not a troll or me talking smack. I mean, you know, that's, it's getting blocked for Florida. Like that's just, you know, to me, that's the
win the game. We win nine out of 10 times if you block a punt.
That's the way that that's probably going to go down. If an extra point is blocked, I think we're probably assuming that that's happening, you know, because Florida had 10 guys on the field or something stupid like that. So, you know, I haven't, Richie, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember any like special teams, like mishaps this year, like nothing like organizationally where we had not enough guys on the field or too many guys on the field, or I don't think we've had anything blocked or anything like that. Like, so I think there's probably a little bit of an advantage. Now I will say what Florida's looked better the last couple of weeks in special teams. Like they do seem like they have some things together, but I don't know, slight edge to Florida.
One week.
Yeah. We just can't have any of that Boston College special teams, like that weird onside / squib kick that Trey Benson couldn't cover the ball. And then a play that honestly could have turned the season around for the worse in that same Boston College game. Do you remember the punt that Keon Coleman did not field? It hit him, and thank God it bounced out of bounds, because that could have been a disaster. But outside of that, they've been solid. So I'm happy with where they're at. I can say this, if Keon's not returning punts, Florida State's going to lose a ton of yards there, because we already saw that in the pick game, because apparently we have nobody who can field a punt except Keon Coleman.
Richie, this question's for you. Tell me what the mood is like in Tallahassee. And honestly, even in the locker room, is everybody really rallying around Tate?
I think it's a combination of rallying around Tate, but also doing it for Jordan, because of what, you know, a guy who's been in the program for 4 years now, what he's meant. You know, Jordan, when he got to Florida State, you know, Willie Taggart didn't even trust to play him when we had terrible quarterback play. and he just slowly worked his way up. Kenny Dillingham and Mike Norvell convinced him to remain at quarterback. Tony Tokars did a great job helping develop him, and he's just been the ultimate teammate, and it really helped turn this team from a 3-6 team in the COVID year in Mike Norvell's first year to 10-3 last year and 11-0 this year. I think it's a combination of they want to be there for Tate. You know, Jordan Travis put off his surgery because he wants to be in the Swamp this weekend, and he was not going to be able to be there if he could not. He made it out to practice today. He was on a golf court, his leg up in a splint or just elevated. And the team coming out to practice, you could tell they were just boosted by seeing him. So I think it's a combination of Tate, Jordan, and then this team. You got to think Trey Benson, you know, Johnny Wilson, a lot of these guys, Jared Verse, Jordan Travis, even before it went down, the only reason they came back is because they thought they could win a national championship. Now, I think that's very unlikely at this point without Jordan, but they came back for this team because they truly believed in what this team was building. So I do think there's going to be a rally cry. It won't be solely because of Tate, but I do think it's a combination of everything and these guys going through some really dark times together to get to this point where they're on the precipice of making the college football playoff potentially.
TJ, how important is this game for Mike Norvell?
This might be a little bit of a hot take, but I think it's really important. You know, you have to construct a roster that can go out and win. And I don't think just the excuse of losing Jordan Travis is enough to like excuse a loss. Tate Rodemaker was the
Florida's playing their backup too, right?
For sure. And you know, I don't know, Mike Norvell would never comment on a Vegas spread, but you even just mentioned it. Like how many places, if you were to list starting units, how many places does Florida have an advantage in this game, even at quarterback position, right? Like, I think, you know, Florida State, you know, you'd say has an advantage at nearly every position on the field, especially defensively, what we've seen this year. And, you know, starting a quarterback that has way more experience in the system. Tate Rodemaker was Mike Norvell's very first recruit that he offered at Florida State. And so that's Mike's guy. And how Tate plays, you know, not trying to put extra pressure, but he shouldn't be watching, you know, the French fries show anyway. How Tate plays is a direct reflection on Mike Norvell and his recruiting and having a capable backup when you have a quarterback. All anyone said for the last 2 years is Florida State will be good unless Travis gets hurt. Well, it's been on Mike Norvell to make sure that the backup was capable. And so, you know, Florida State, I think running backs would maybe save Florida, but like wide receiver, better at Florida State, tight end, better. Offensive line, certainly more experience. I don't know that anybody wants to claim their offensive line this year. Defensive line, Florida State. Linebackers, Florida State. Safe cornerback, secondary, Florida State. So like, yeah, if that's the case, then Jordan going out, I mean, I don't know. It's not getting fired over it. 11-1 still really good. They'll probably go out and win next year. But I do think the game is really, really important. And, you know, all these guys, like Richie said, came back. Jared Verse, Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson, all these guys came back to win. And you're getting Florida now, a Florida team that has very much struggled this year with a backup. You've got to win this game if you're Mike Norvell. Again, it's not like the difference of fired or not, but no. I do think it's really important for him to win this game.
You know, you and I talked a little bit at the beginning of this week, and I think it's an interesting conversation we can have now, but you had tweeted something along the lines of that you felt like it was a bigger loss to Florida State to lose Jordan Travis than for Florida to lose Graham Mertz. And I kind of take a little bit of exception to that because, you know, while I think Jordan Travis is the better quarterback than Graham Mertz is, I think what Graham Mertz has done for this Florida team is massive. And if you take both quarterbacks out, all of the talent still remains at Florida State. And so exactly to your point, that's why I think Graham Mertz is a bigger loss than Jordan Travis is, because on paper, Florida State should still beat Florida in every other statistical category. And for quarterbacks, even there, they should, because Tate Rodemaker has experience in this system. He's started a game before. He's seen more time for sure than Max Brown has. So even if Max Brown maybe has a higher ceiling, we sure as heck haven't seen it right? And he doesn't have any experience. So I kind of think the bigger loss was Graham Mertz. But you're right. There's zero reason that Florida State on paper should lose this game.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think the counter argument to that is I definitely see that point. I think the counter argument to that is that it's hard to definitively say that because we know, and this is no shot at Tate, we know what the gap is between Jordan and Tate. I don't think we know what that gap is between Mertz and Brown until we maybe see it this weekend. And so if Brown goes out there and runs for 150 yards and throws for 200, I'm going to get you back on here and call you a liar for faking us. But anyway, now I get what you're saying by that. And I think if you took either guy away from their teams, their seasons are pretty different. But yeah, you know, without Graham Mertz, I mean, Florida may have two or three wins, you know? And so, yeah. You know, I think Florida State's probably sitting at what? Richie, if Jordan hadn't played, you would probably lose two or three. I mean, still sitting at like eight or so wins, I think, you know, worst case. So I definitely, I get that. All right, let me flip it back to you then. What, how important is this win for Napier? It's kind of the same question you asked me.
I think it's not important at all and super important at the same time, if that makes sense. Florida has nothing to lose. Nobody expects Florida to win this game. They should be able to play very loose. No matter what, Napier's not getting fired, regardless of the outcome of this game. All of the experts are going to pick Florida State. So if Florida loses, they're doing exactly what they were predicted.
Not Pate. Josh Pate.
Yeah, Josh Pate.
Let the record show that Josh Pate picked you guys.
All right. Well, there you go. But I think it could go a long way in helping Billy Napier. I think if you derail your rival's playoff hopes, that is going to carry a lot of weight into the offseason. You can become bowl eligible and you can keep Florida State out of the playoffs. It's going to forgive a lot of ills. And Billy Napier is nobody in the Gator fan base's favorite person at the moment. So he could use some good grace. This would be massive to send Florida into the offseason. I think it could be huge recruiting-wise, too, because I think Billy Napier can say, look at what we're building. All of Florida's best players are young guys that Billy Napier has brought in. He is a capable recruiter, and he's a capable talent evaluator. What we're kind of unsure about is he a capable game day coach? And I think if you upset Florida State, you really send the message that, yes, absolutely you are. So I know that's a very wishy-washy answer, but he doesn't need to win this. He's not getting fired if he doesn't win this. But it sure would be nice to go into, you know, bowl season having crushed Florida State's dreams and bowl eligible.
Yeah, I think it would help them recruiting. And I kind of agree that yeah, he's got a lot more to gain than he has to lose. Like, I think if you were to lose this one, if you were to win, you probably enter 2024 on less of a hot seat, like a little bit longer rope.
I think so.
But that's really not, I mean, whatever. I mean, 2024 is going to be tough one way or the other, you know? And, oh, and so
I think it stops the boo birds a little bit, right?
Yeah. It does help.
Expected to lose, but if they don't, that's big.
Beating your rivals matters. How many times did Bobby Bowden save his son Tommy Bowden's job at Clemson by just losing that game? These games matter. So I agree 100%.
So a couple, Allie mentioned some injury stuff for Florida State just really quickly. And then we'll do Allie, we play a prize picks game on here. We'll shout out both prize picks codes. But I expect Kayla, you know, I won't hold anything back here. I expect Kalen DeLoach, actually Trey Benson and Renardo Green to suit up and play this weekend. It is Wednesday. So we'll see how much turkey they have over the next couple of days and see if that changes or not. Mo Smith, I'm somewhat questionable on. I don't necessarily know that I feel super confident that he plays. But again, I thought they were probably a bit better with Washington in there anyway.
Real quick, TJ, Washington at his health level a better option than whatever Mo Smith is right now? Because I think he might be.
Probably, but at the same time, there's continuity. You know, you like Washington out at tackle too. And so, you know, is Mo Smith a better option? Is Washington a better option than just Mo Smith at center for center? Yes. But is Washington a better option at center? And then you have to move somebody like Byers or somebody else to tackle. Yeah. That's where you're starting to get kind of gray, right? Now, if Mo Smith's at 30%, then yeah, of course not. But if he's at like 70 or 80, then he's probably a good option to have
Agreed.
In there
Agreed.
To at least grab some snaps. So unfortunately with the offensive line, it's not like a running back where you can say like, oh, just flip Toa Philly for Benson. It affects other places along the line, which makes it tough. I think, you know, there's been questions around Benson, Renard, Green, DeLoach. I'm hearing, at least as of Wednesday, I expect all three of them to play. So, all right, our prize picks segment.
Before you go on, I wanted to tell you, I looked closer at this depth chart, and Slaughter and Iguakin, it says or. It has Slaughter listed as the starter, but it says or. So I would assume that means there's at least a possibility at this point that Kingsley does play.
Gotcha. Okay. Prize picks. Allie's code is PEEK, P-E-E-K on the Prize Picks app. Ours is DFNS. If you're a Gator, use the PEEK code. Actually, you can use DFNS for both if you want, but use the PEEK code. Sure. Gator fans out there, PEEK, P-E-E-K. It's the Prize Picks app. It's a daily fantasy game where you take the more or less on player projections. You can pair a whole bunch of stuff with Rivalry Weekend. I think the Egg Bowl's tomorrow night. You can even get your degenerate stuff going on Thursday. So I think you can do NFL stuff. You can do NFL stuff. You can pair everything. You can pair NFL and college. You can throw NBA and NHL together, whatever you want to do. So go check it out. DFNS if you're an FSU fan. P-E-E-K for the Gators. Richie, or Harlan, you're going to have to text me yours too. Allie, the best part about this is we don't even track it. You just give your pick. We haven't tracked it all year. So, all right, what you got, Richie?
All right, yeah, let's start with Tate Rodemaker. I got him at 275.5 total yards, so rushing, passing, receiving if we go with another tally special. Just to keep in mind that sack yards do come off the total yards. I'll start it off. I'm going to say over. Allie, how about you?
I'm going to say under.
TJ.
We're not allowed to say over or under.
More.
Okay, so I'm going to say less.
More or less. I'm going to go. Harlan's going more. I'm going more, too.
Sack off to a hot start worry. Here.
Sack yardage does worry me here, but I'll go more on this one.
Harlan's going to say that. All right, so Florida State's rushing attack, you know, they've struggled against pretty much everybody this year. And again, a reminder, sack yards will be taken off this. So Florida State rushing attack, 119.5 total for the game between all Florida State players. TJ.
Harlan's got less. I got more on this. I don't remember the last time they held somebody around 100 yards rushing. So I'll go more on this one for sure.
Allie, what do you think? 119.5.
I'm going more as well.
Harlan went less. I'll go more as well. I just think Benson's good for one, you know, 40, 50 yarder, and they find a way to squeak past it. I don't think it's gonna be much more than that. Max Brown, this is a tricky one. I didn't even know where to set this number because Prize Picks typically lists their Friday lines or their Saturday night game lines on the Thursday late. But Max Brown, 34.5 rushing yards. I'll start it off here. I think I'm going to go more here just because I just think he breaks one off. If Florida State is playing man coverage, that's just asking for Max Brown to rip a big one. So I'll say more. What do you think, TJ?
I'll go less because of sack yardage. I think if sack yardage didn't count but I think he'll take a couple of sacks, try and make a couple of plays, young guy, try and play hero ball a little bit. So I would say more if sack yardage didn't matter. But I think he'll take a couple of sacks and negate it. So I'll go less. Harlan has more as well. Allie?
I'm going more. I think they will use his feet, and I think he will have a nice day rushing.
All right, so let's go with UF's rushing attack and 149.5 rush yards. I think the average is at 151.5 right now for UF on the season, which I didn't know until after I set this line. So kudos to me for the Barnes Sportsbook. There we go. Man, ETN just scares the crap out of me. You have two NFL running backs back there. Mm-hmm. If I'm taking the, you know, Max Brown over 34.5, I'm going to have to take Florida's rushing attack over 149.5. What do you think, Allie?
Yeah, I think over as well. And I think Max Brown is part of why that happens, because I do think it becomes hard to defend.
TJ.
Yeah, Harlan and I are both on more here. I think they'll have a nice day rushing. I'd love to be wrong there, because if they don't hit 150 on the ground, I have a hard time seeing them winning the game. So I'd love to be wrong, but I think that they go over that.
All right. So the fifth one, let's go with Keon and Johnny combined 1.5 total touchdowns. I'll let Allie start this one.
More. I think Florida State's offense is so good. Those are the two best wide receivers for Florida State, and Florida's DBs are garbage. So more.
I'll go more as well. Harlan's got more. Yeah, I'll go more on this one. I might go more on two and a half.
Let's put it to 2.5.
She really called me on it. I'll go less on 2.5. Harlan's got more though, so we can keep rolling with it.
I'll take more on 2.5 because I think Tate, you go back to that Louisville game last year. Who was he looking to? Johnny Wilson nonstop. Yeah. Now he has Keon. He's going to be looking at Keon and Johnny all game long. And I'm not calling it, but Keon returns a punt. He's showing he can break it open. If he's healthy, against Miami, like 100%, that's a touchdown on that punt return. I'll say more than 2.5. How about you, Allie?
I kind of think more than 2.5 as well.
The only one to go less then. All right, finish this up, Reggie.
All right, let's finish this up with Pearsall and Wilson, 124.5. Is this too low, TJ and Allie?
Yeah, they're going to have more than that, I think.
Should I bump that to like 155.5?
I'll take less than that. I'll take less than those two.
Mm-hmm. Less than the 124.5?
Yeah, I think, okay, and here's, I'll give you an answer. I think Greedy Vance did a really good job on Ricky Pearsall. I think they match up really, really well. I don't think he shuts him down like he did in the second half last year, but I do think he does an okay job on him. And then I think they also are going to be very mindful of Trey Wilson and try and take away. I would expect Jarian Jones, Florida State's best defensive back, the number one corner in PFF right now. I would expect Jarian Jones to be on Trey Wilson a lot. So I don't think they shut them down by any means, but I'll take the under on 124.5.
All right. So I'm still scarred by that first half last year. So I'm just going to say more just because like there might be a busted coverage. I'd like to think it'd be less. And based on how the defense has played, it probably should be less. But I cannot forget that first half last year. I'm going to say more. Allie, you're more as well?
More, yeah.
Harlan's with me.
He's some out. Offense on Saturday.
Yeah, I
y'all got us. Y'all picked more on everything. This score is gonna be 48-44, and then y'all will pick 20-17 as the final score. I can't wait.
we'll see, TJ. We'll see here.
All right, cool. That does it for that. All right, Allie, we'll wrap up here in the next few minutes. But really quickly, playoff rankings. Allie, we'll let you join in on this, even though there's not really a reason to. No offense. Florida State drops to. I gotta get a couple of shots in. Come on. Florida State drops to number 5. The committee says that has more to do with what Washington did as opposed to Jordan Travis' injury. In fact, Reese Davis asked Boo Corrigan twice if it had to do with the injury, and he pretty much said no. Stop asking questions. This is why you're not on the committee. Florida State wins. I'll just ask you guys both quickly. Florida State wins out, goes 13-0. Even with Tate, are they in the playoff?
Yes, and I'm not going to go on a rant tonight because here's the thing. I fully expect if Florida State does find a way to win in the swamp on Saturday night, I think Florida State's right back in the top four on Tuesday night because either Ohio State or Michigan is dropping out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll go over real quick, a rooting guide on why I think who I want to win that game is. But either way, Florida State's right back in the top four if they win this weekend.
Allie, they go 13-0, they're in.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, you know, every single year we talk about what happens if there's 5 undefeated teams or 6 undefeated teams or this or that. And we always end up with multiple one-loss teams in the playoffs. Like it is not, nobody, the top 6, the top 5, whatever, isn't running the table. Michigan and Ohio State play this weekend. Washington State, Washington is still a rivalry. I just, things will happen. Florida State will be in the top 4 if they win.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think they should be just outside of fandom. You've seen a lot of people talk about this. Games, the games have to matter. Like you just, if you go 13-0 in a Power 5 conference, especially with scheduling LSU, I know LSU has got 3 losses. I get it. But you cannot leave.
LSU is probably the best 3-loss team in the country, which, by the way, had you not been playing Florida State, you would call me a homer for saying. But now that you have played LSU, I think you can see why that is a factual statement. Yeah.
And I think it's important to notice or remember, not only has a 13-0 Power 5 conference champ never been left out, a 12-1 Power Five conference champ has never been left out.
Well, we don't want to test that.
Do not tell me that a 12-1 Power Five conference champ should jump a 12 or 13-0 Florida State. Florida State loses this week or next week against Louisville, conversation's over, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
but again, I'll save my rant for.
I think Florida State playing LSU and Florida, though, in this schedule is a part of why they should automatically be in. I think in normal years, if you only play one major out of conference opponent, I can see where they would argue that other conferences are more difficult than the ACC. But it's hard to say that to Florida State this year, having played. It's not like they're playing Mississippi State, you know, having played LSU, that should carry weight.
And can we just mention that Michigan did not play a single Power Five out of conference opponent this year? That should matter.
Yeah, they've got, and you know, there's a lot of outrage over Washington jumping Florida State. Actually, I don't think there is.
Washington should have jumped Michigan.
Yeah, I think Florida State. I think Michigan should be fifth right now. Just based on, I mean, if you look at strength of record, if you look at strength of schedule, if you look at just out of conference opponents, if you look at top. The teams they've beaten, right? The number of ranked opponents, like Michigan's behind all four of the other undefeateds right now. And so I get it. I get why they're not.
Two words I never want to hear again, eye test or game control. Get that out of here. The results on the field have to matter.
So a quick rooting guide, TCU at Oklahoma. Richie, do you want me to run through these or do you want to talk about any of these or do you just want me to?
No, we can just say who we want with a quick synopsis. This one, I'll say Oklahoma just because I think they have a better chance of beating Texas than Oklahoma State does.
Yeah, I don't really care here. I'll go Oklahoma as well. Allie, do you care about any of these?
Well, Oklahoma is now my SEC brethren, so.
Okay. So, all right, we'll make the next one really hard on you.
We can skip a lot of these. I think the biggest one, I think Ohio State beat Michigan ensures Michigan is out. Regardless, because their lone quote unquote quality win would be against Penn State. But I do think you need Louisville to beat Kentucky because that's going to help you a lot when it comes to the final selection show.
I think it's good that Louisville is at Kentucky. Kentucky is at Louisville there. Also, I think it'd be important for LSU to continue to win. If LSU wins, they very well could find themselves right
LSU
around
and Clemson got to win. Yeah.
So that'd be a big one. I don't think it'd be terrible for Auburn to upset Alabama. Weird things happen on the plains. I don't think Florida State necessarily needs that, but for example, if Auburn beat Alabama and then Alabama upset Georgia, there'd be the question of what happens with the SEC. I know that'd break Allie's heart. You know, Oregon State beating Oregon would not be terrible. But again, I don't really know that all this stuff matters. Again, I think it's just important that Florida State wins their next two games. But
I still think it's winning your
chaos scenario. Yeah. Some of these games could matter.
Yeah. I still think it's a win and you're in if you're Florida State. And I think honestly, this Tuesday selection show is going to tell us all we need to know. Because if Florida State does jump up to number four, well, they're playing like the number 8 or 9 team in the country in the ACC championship. And if they win that game, how do you justify jumping them with a one-loss team? You can't at that point. That's why I thought it was so important Florida State did not get jumped by an Oregon or somebody this week. And we'll see what happens from here on out, you know, but
yeah, they
keep winning.
They mentioned a lot, you know, the idea of like, oh, well, if Texas, you know, Texas might win and be 12-1 and beat an Oklahoma team that's 12th. And I'm like, well, Florida State would have to beat a 10th ranked or 9th or 8th ranked Louisville. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm in complete agreement there. Okay, quick predictions, and then we'll talk Thanksgiving for like a minute and we'll get out of here. So, Harlan, what you got? Richie, start us off, then Allie, then I'll go.
Yeah, I do think Mike Norvell is a fantastic offensive mind. I think he's going to have a plan. You know, I go back to 2009, TJ. I don't even remember that Wake Forest game when Christian Ponder was out and E.J. Manuel had to start as a redshirt freshman. Jimbo, I thought, called a perfect game for him. And, you know, he executed it, didn't ask him to do too much. I think Norvell's going to do something similar. It's got to be more close than we would like as far as for comfort. I think this game goes right down to the wire, the final possession potentially, but give me Florida State 30, Florida 24. I think Florida State sneaks out of the swamp with a win. I have Florida covering the spread as it stands right now on Wednesday night, you know, at 8:25 PM. But I do think Florida State finds a way to get to 12-0 and then we'll see what happens in Charlotte. I don't even want to think about that yet.
Allie.
All right. Well, you know, preseason, we talked about this. I predicted that Florida State would win, I believe. But I actually think this Florida team is so close to a big win. I think you saw it on Saturday against Missouri. It was right there. They didn't fully capitalize, but it was, I mean, they were there against a team they shouldn't have been there against. And even Arkansas, Florida kind of handed that away, but they were right there. They should have, could have come up with the win there. I think they put the things together on Saturday. I think the crowd plays a huge part. I think the unknown of Max Brown, there's just not a lot on film. I think that's something Florida capitalizes on. But I agree with Richie. This is going to be a game that goes down to the wire, I think. And this rivalry, for the most part, that's what we always see. You can throw rankings out the window. You can throw schedules out the window. 9 times out of 10 when these teams play each other, they're familiar with each other. These kids, a lot of them played in high school together. It's a super cool rivalry, and rankings and record don't usually matter. I think Florida wins 38-31.
Woo!
All the no points. Way they score 38.
Yeah, if they score,
I'm not saying they can't win. I'm not saying Florida can't win, because they definitely could. 38 ain't happening.
38. Woo! I'll fire Adam Fuller on the spot if they score 38. With
backup. Nobody scored 30 on Florida State this year.
They're going to score 38 on. I'll fire Fuller so fast. I'll print a shirt and wear it to every game next year. Harlan's got 31. Harlan's got 31-21 Florida. I like the 31 number that we're all kind of dancing around. I do think Florida State gets to 31. I think that's kind of, as we talked about, the magic number. I think the score is 14-13 at halftime. Florida State goes in with a 1-point lead, and then they score the next 17 unanswered. I think they win 31-13. They really locked down in the second half, which I believe they've pitched 6 second half shutouts this year. I think that continues. Close game at the half. We're all biting our fingernails off, pulling what little hair I have out left, or left out. And Florida State kind of wins going away. Maybe a late touchdown to make it look a little wider than it really should have been. I forgot to ask this. I'll ask this, and then we'll do Thanksgiving. We do this on Allie's show every week, and so I wanted to try and continue it if we could. Richie, if there was one thing outside of like the win, one thing that you want to see, like you want to see this done well, or you want to see Florida State excel in this, like what is your one thing that you want to see this weekend? Actually, I'll ask Allie first because I give her the heads up. Then Richie, you go, and then I'll finish up.
I want to see Florida tackle well. It is something they've struggled with. You know, the first couple of games of the season, I thought like, okay, we finally learned how to tackle in this offseason. And since September, it's kind of been downhill. And one of the things we talked about on our channel a lot is that if you can't make a solo tackle on your own, you need to do something to slow your man down until the rest of your teammates can get there and you can gang tackle. That's not something Florida has done well all season long, but it is something they're going to have to do if they're going to be able to steal a stop or two away from Florida State. So I need to see good form tackling.
Richie,
two things I want to see. You know,
she's already going with two things.
Opening drive, second drive, whatever it may be. Let's say 4th and 2 from UF's 45-yard line. We go for it and we just run a power formation, blow UF off the ball and get the first down, because we've not been able to do that against anybody this season. So yeah. Show me that. And the other thing I want to see is Jordan Travis, hyped up on painkillers, driving a golf cart around the Gatorhead after the game, celebrating the win. That's all I want to see.
Harlan said, this was funny. I was kind of pissed off at Harlan for picking the Gators, but Harlan said he wanted to see Tate doing the TikTok dances in the end zone. On a serious note, I just no turnovers. I truly believe that if Florida State does not turn the ball over, Florida has a very thin path to victory. We've all kind of said, like, I think Florida State is a little more talented than Florida at most positions on the field this weekend. And, probably 9 out of 9.5 times out of 10, if you don't turn the ball over and you're the more talented team, you win. So if we can not turn the ball over or win the turnover battle, either one of those would be fine. I think Florida State finds a way to win, would be my big one. So, all right, let's do this, and then let's get out of here. This is in your notes, so hopefully you already kind of have an idea of what you want. But a Thanksgiving meat, a side, a bread, a dessert, and a wild card. Who wants to go first here? I don't mind going first, though, if you want me to.
Go first. Bread, you pick your favorite bread.
Go for it. I'll go after you, TJ.
Cornbread. Some people like bread pudding. Some people
I,
like.
I just left hell about 2 hours ago, aka Publix, on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
So I was there today too.
So I have my list ready to go.
Meat is a fried turkey for sure. Cajun seasoning, Cajun injection. Side, listen, this is underrated for sure, but broccoli casserole is my favorite Thanksgiving side ever. Kara likes green bean casserole, but I like broccoli casserole way better because it's got cheese. A bread, I like cornbread, so I don't know. Ali's hating on me for that, but I mean, I don't know. You make like homemade butter every time I've ever been at your house, so like I'm sure that
I mean, I love bread, I just don't put it up there. It's my favorite thing.
You don't put a roll on your plate or something. For dessert, it's pecan pie always. And then my wild card is I lost it. Sweet potato casserole. So I'm big on the casseroles, as you can tell. Who wants to go next?
All right, let's go. I'm actually with you, TJ, on the meat. It's a turkey with Cajun seasoning, Cajun injection. That's easy. The side
fried, right? I know you fry it inside.
Oh yeah, I'll fry it. Actually, so it's just me and the wife this year. Neither of moms are going to be able to make it. So I just bought the turkey breast, not a whole bird. So I'm just going to put it in the air fryer. I'm still going to inject it and see how it comes out, and we'll go from there. The side, green bean casserole. It's got to be green bean casserole for me. My wife would say stuffing. Bread, Hawaiian rolls. Hawaiian King sweet rolls. Yeah. Because it's elite leftovers when later that night I can take a leftover turkey and ham and make a slider with those Hawaiian rolls. Undefeated. The dessert, probably a Hershey chocolate pie, the frozen ones. And a wild card, I make fried alligator every weekend this year, and it lasts throughout the weekend. So that is my wild card.
I like it. Very fitting for the week. Allie?
All right. I'm going to go fried turkey as well. Eric does a good job. He's also smoking a turkey this year, so we'll have some little side-by-side comparison to see what is better.
Jealous.
Sides, I am all about the sides at Thanksgiving. All the casseroles, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole. A bread. I mean, we're making cornbread pudding, so that'll exist. I love Hawaiian rolls. So, I make homemade butter. Hawaiian rolls are great with those. Dessert, give me all the pies. I think we have like four or five different kinds. I will be trying all
of them. Allie's cheating. She's picking like five.
Allie's just listed the whole menu here.
Big on Thanksgiving. And then my wild card is Southern squash. It's one of my favorite things. It has cheese, it has squash. I mean, so it's a vegetable, but it's cheating for sure. It is very, very good.
It's good stuff. I'll see you tomorrow. So, all right. Tailgate, again, this weekend. If you're going to be in Gainesville, come by and see us. Link is in the description. It's KnowlesGators2023.eventbrite.com. If you can't remember that, just literally click on the description of either video, and it'll be there. Just very quickly, if you tuned in late, Allie does a show called A Peek Inside Gators Football. You can find it here on YouTube. She's done a lot of FSU coverage this week. If you aren't familiar with our show and you're tuning in on Allie's channel, we have a channel called Double Fries No Slaw. You can come check it out as well. Let's see. Shout outs and we'll get out of here. Allie, you can think of if you have any. Richie, I know you have a shout out. Allie, if you have anything, you can go next and then we'll wrap it up.
Shout out Coach Ham and the Florida State basketball team, the Sunshine Slam tournament champions, bringing the hardware back to Tallahassee. Knocked off number 18 Colorado. We're not going to talk about the game against Florida Alley. That did not happen. That's way in the past. but Florida State did not get their fourth win of the season until late December last year. It is mid to late November. They're at 4-1. Just good to see. You know, it's TJ, you know how I feel about this basketball team. I think we're a bubble squad this year. Probably NIT, but better than last year when we knew our season was over in the first month of the season. Go ahead, Allie.
Well, I know it was old news to you, but I think shout out Florida.
Basketball stuff with our arm here.
In basketball. I actually think Florida's basketball team looks like it's headed in the right direction. Got a lot of talent over there. So interested to see. I don't think we're a bubble team. I think we're a tournament team. But always appreciate when you beat the rivals.
I'll give my shout out to the only basketball team that is ranked in the state, and that's FSU's women's basketball team, who beat Florida just recently. Had to save Richie's butt here. So shout out
Brooke.
Coach Brooke, friend of the show, and Tanaya Latson, who went off for like 35.
Yeah.
saved a horrible night from the men, who performed poorly after. We should have flipped. We should have flipped and had the men and women play each other. Maybe we would have a little bit better of a chance. So shout out Jasper. Thank you for the love there. Currently frying two turkeys right now. Go Knowles.
Brining.
Appreciate the love.
Brining, not frying. Brining.
Can't read.
As a Brining. Proper Thanksgiving cook is doing currently.
Yeah. I can't read that far. So, all right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Allie, thanks for hanging out with us. Richie, thank you for hanging out. Harlan, can't believe you picked the Gators. Have a good Thanksgiving. Love you guys. Go Knowles.